We also were actually very lucky in retrospect, because it could have been a lot worse, as we'll talk about in a minute. But the estimated peak load was 76.8 gigawatts, and that was on Tuesday, February 16th. And that is higher than the all-time summer peak, which is important because normally resource planning is done with the expectation that the highest load amounts are going to be during the summer peak. And that just isn't the case, or wasn't the case during Uri. So after the after all of this had happened and we were in outages, there were a number of key Public Utility Commission orders that are still being litigated today. Some were to adjust because the ERCOT systems were supposed to be pricing power at $9,000 per megawatt hour at the cap whenever we were in load shed. And we had been in load shed, and yet we were not pricing at the cap. And so there were some orders that were adjusting the cap, adjusting prices up to the cap. And then there were orders that were adjusting instead of once we reached the high price cap limitation, and we should have gone to the lower price cap. We stayed at the higher price cap because the lower price cap would have been with the fuel index multiplier as much as $24,000 per megawatt hour, you know, almost three times the high offer cap. And so there were orders issued to address that situation as well. And then there was, you know, discretion given to ERCOT to resolve some of the financial fallout after the market crisis, because as you'll recall, a number of entities exited the market, and they did not return. And then there are some entities that short paid that are still in the market. The largest one, of course, being the Brazos system that's in the Brazos bankruptcy now. And then, of course, you had suspension of the customer disconnect requirements that were implemented in order to keep customers from having immediate payouts of very large amounts. And these would have affected primarily the gritty customers as gritty exited the market as well. So, I mean, there's a chart there on the right-hand column that talks about the supply and demand dynamics. And it's really astounding when you think where we were with 10 to 20 gigawatts, depending on the time, being tripped, and all of the natural gas supply disruption. So if you look, the next slide is really really disturbing as well, because you had units that were online and that were operating, and they had fuel and they were doing well until there were a number of frequency excursions where they were essentially thrown off the grid. And so at that time, there was not an ability to stay online, and those units then froze and couldn't return to service. So this chart is really a frightening chart, because it talks about how, you know, it describes how we got to very close to going to a cascading, uncontrollable outage that would have taken the system down for a very long time. And as you might imagine, given what Michael said about all of this occurring in the middle of a legislative session, suddenly the priorities for the electric vehicle rulemaking, you know, that had gone as a legislative request by the commission to the legislature, didn't seem that important anymore, because they had much bigger fish to fry. And Michael, of course, was in the middle of all of this. And Michael, do you want to talk about the fallout at the ledge?
Yeah, thanks, Diana. You know, obviously, because this happened during the session, ERCOT and electricity became the issue of the session. Of course, the budget still had to be done, but it was very hotly discussed. There were multiple days of hearings before the Senate Business and Commerce Committee, as well as the House State Affairs Committee. All of the ERCOT independent board members at the time resigned. Excuse me. And ultimately, all three commissioners at the time also resigned. There were hundreds of bills on the electric industry that ended up getting filed as well. So what I'm going to do next is try to do a brief review of the bills that passed, This is just a culmination of all the issues that we're going to touch base on. And so we'll dive on in. So first, going to talk about changes to the ERCOT market design, the PUC, and ERCOT. The Senate Bill 2 modified the governance of the PUC, OPUC, and ERCOT. The Senate Bill 2 required that all the ERCOT board members, it essentially got rid of the current board structure that we have, we had in ERCOT, and instead went to an all-independent board member, or an all-independent board with 11 members, the chairman of the Public Utility Commission, the ERCOT CEO, and OPUC counselor were going to be on the board. And then you'd have 8 independent members as well that were designated by a committee that of 3 that was appointed by the governor, lieutenant governor, and the speaker. We now have a full board that's on that has been appointed. All of them are Texas residents. That was one of the new requirements as well. And then finally, one of the other things that was added to this bill that's an important change to the process is that the PUC must approve a market impact statement of new and revised protocols, and the protocols themselves are not allowed to take effect before receiving commission approval.